Hi, welcome to the marketing update for Friday, June 28th. I'm Mike Volpe.
I'm Rebecca Corliss.
Thanks for joining us. I've got a new co-host to continue to experiment with the format. Hopefully the video quality was better last week than it was 2 weeks ago. We did sort of a Google Hangout thing 2 weeks ago.
Oh, very cool.
Tried to get the live thing going. The problem is the audio looks like you're underwater. No, sorry, the audio set mess. The audio sounds like a tin can, but the video looks like you're underwater. Like
it's just does the video look underwater?
Yeah. No, as in blurry.
I understand.
Not as, yeah. As if you took your glasses off, RevCore.
Oh, so, we don't want to look at that at all.
No. Anyway, some interesting stuff this week that we're going to talk about.
Stuff.
First article is basically newsjacking and a bunch of companies jumping on the DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act decision, and basically trying to newsjack it and doing different things. So talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah, so a few different companies are taking advantage of this really excellent announcement. So one, MasterCard, they have a New York City Pride sweepstakes, and basically they were jumping on the hashtag that was being used for this and using it to basically promote their sweepstakes. What's really interesting about this one is they actually were doing something related to this already, so using that context in order to make it bigger. The other one was ABC Family, so they actually have a TV show coming up with J-Lo in it. J-Lo
really?
Is acting on
wow.
TV. Pretty cool. It's called The Fosters, and actually stars a lesbian couple on the show. So also using this announcement in order to promote that. So what I like about this is newsjacking is a great thing to use in terms of your marketing, especially when it kind of continues to perpetuate the happiness that people are experiencing and using that to promote their stuff.
Yeah, there you go. So always look for opportunities of big sort of nationwide or global things that are happening and how to latch your marketing onto them.
Absolutely.
Right? And we sort of newsjacked the newsjacking because we wrote a blog article about the company's newsjacking DOMA. So
you
it was like
a,
sort of this, you know, sort of very meta type of thing. All right, next up we have Bing in the news again, constantly trying to innovate and get their market share of search up.
They're trying.
I wish they would be more successful. I think it would be cool to have more competition for Google. But what they've done recently is they've added new Bing boards.
Bing boards.
Bing boards.
Board. Sounds familiar.
Yes. To search results. So tell us a little bit about this, RepCore.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
So a Bing board is a board that allows a user, a passionate user, to collect images, photos, and links that basically will describe this topic, whether it be, I don't know, knitting or whatever it might be. To me, it feels a little bit like Squidoo. Remember Squidoo?
I remember Squidoo. I also, my first comment to you was like, well, like Pinterest? And you're like, well, yes, except more than images.
Mm-hmm.
So is it like Pinterest plus delicious?
There
well,
you go.
Maybe that, but maybe with videos. But like, okay. But it's this thing where you just like collect a bunch of stuff and you make a page out of it, a board.
The part that I think is really interesting, the reason why they're doing this is because they want to move away from the algorithm deciding what's important and letting passionate people. Well, I want to know what makes a passionate person to them. How are they selecting these passionate people? Can I write an application to do the a cappella Bing board or something like that? Like, how do I fit that criteria?
You would probably get picked for that.
I hope so.
But
I think I'm pretty passionate about it.
It's interesting, the idea of just putting a little bit of more human back in the search. I don't know. I mean, their whole campaign has been that, like, their algorithm is better. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's, I don't know if it really matches up. Yeah, I don't know. But,
bit.
Yeah, in any event. So, something to check out. I think especially if you're more in the consumer space, mm-hmm. it might be something to poke around. And they do say the first Bing boarders will be from a small group of food and lifestyle bloggers.
Oh, so
if you're
blogging.
In that, well,
yeah.
if you, that's the thing. So maybe if you're in that industry and you want to maybe expand your reach beyond your blog or your mm-hmm. social that you're doing right now to something new, this might be something worth checking out if you're in one of those industries.
Absolutely.
All right. We've got Twitter coming up next. They're testing an automatic in-stream image preview.
I think this is pretty cool.
I think this is really cool. I feel like Twitter should have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
So when you see a stream of stuff, a huge number of tweets have links to other things,
mm-hmm.
be it photos, be it videos, be it blog articles, things like that. And for a long time, you saw nothing about them. You just had to click on the link and go to the other site.
If you were curious.
If you wanted to know what it was, right? Then Twitter started letting you click on the tweet, and then it would expand it and show you a little bit of it, maybe the photo or maybe the first part of the article, things like that. So like that's sort of cool. Now they're taking that to a little bit more and saying, well, you don't even have to click on the tweet. We're going to auto-expand, preview some of that stuff for you, which I actually think is great. I think this is huge. I think if you're creating better content, it has a potential to like showcase that content better, things like that. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it's really smart from Twitter's standpoint, not only because they're finally catching up with the trend of visual content overall, but also they really want to make sure they're monetizing Twitter for advertisers. And one of the ways they need to do that is to ensure that people are going to Twitter.com in order to see the advertisements that advertisers are paying for. So by having this only available, it seems at least in the time being, when they launch this to everyone on Twitter.com or Twitter-sponsored apps, they will guarantee that people will see their advertisings.
Yeah, I think the weird part about this a little bit is like, it's also giving advertisers a way to be a little bit more intrusive, right?
So
it's one thing to have a sponsored tweet if it's like just a tweet, but if it's also this image of like, buy my product, are we getting, it's sort of like, you know, on Tumblr for a long time, there's like no ads, and now it's like you scroll through the post and all of a sudden like, here's like a sponsored post and it has this big image and all this stuff. And I don't know, is it just the next generation of the banner ad? I don't know. A lot of it depends on the implementation, but the idea of expanding not just the advertising content, but especially the organic content, I think that's super cool and going to be a good thing for Twitter. And you could almost see, like, is this something Twitter's doing to avoid kind of like slowly going downhill over time as more visual mediums sort of take over, right? And, you know, maybe this is partly why they launched Vine. And then, of course, Instagram basically copied Vine. But, you know, right. So, I don't know.
They're all copying
I think it's a good thing. I would definitely check this out. And it should basically be better leverage for the things you should already be doing, which is creating good visual content.
And reminder, it's not live for everyone. It's just a few select groups who have noticed this. So this might be something that they're progressively releasing to everyone. So if you haven't seen it yet for you, look out for it. Maybe it'll come soon.
Right. And the step that marketers should take right now is make sure that blog posts and other things, like you're using visual content like images and other stuff like that as part of that content stream, because that will become more important to make your Twitter presence better as you sort of grow.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, this is a watch out, Amazon. Square moves into e-commerce.
They're shaking in their boots.
We don't know. You know, who knows? But Square, which for those of you who don't know, is basically a mobile payments company. So it allows you to... merchants to accept credit cards much more easily, but also for individual users to pay with their phone, not with a credit card. So, like, there's actually a food place downstairs, and you can use Square and the app on your phone to basically pay, and it just, they can swipe the credit card, but I use the phone to pay. Like, I don't
even
bring out my credit card, right?
Even better.
You just, you know, you click on the thing, you're like, I'm here, it recognizes you're both right there, and they're like, great, and they hit a button, and then it just charges you, and you're done, which is really cool. So, sort of cool, that's Square. But they've moved, and their original thing was, how do we transform the physical in-person payments and make that much more accessible to like lots of merchants? But now what they've done is they've launched an ability for those merchants to have like an e-commerce store online, which I'm missing something here, but I kind of just don't get it. It's like, I don't know.
They're trying to be different. They want to be different from Amazon because it's more about the seller and kind of creating an online store. And it's more Etsy-like.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds a lot like Etsy.
Exactly. It's not, I wouldn't say that revolutionary to really take on Amazon.
Maybe I'm missing something here, or maybe it's just part of like they feel like they need to be that all-in-one solution for local merchants.
I can understand why that
And
might
then
be
it's
appealing.
Like, oh, okay, people don't want to use multiple platforms. Maybe that's fine. I don't know. Or maybe they feel like this is another revenue stream they need to get into. I don't know. But it seemed a little odd for me because I don't really get what their advantage is over Amazon or Etsy or all these other things. Like, why is that? Why are they better? Whereas when you say, okay, well, why are they better than an individual merchant having to sign up for a merchant account and sign up with MasterCard and Visa, like all this like really complicated, expensive stuff, Square makes that phenomenally easier.
Yeah.
So it's like very transformative and like a clear value prop. And for an individual user, it's like, I don't need to remember my credit cards or my wallet. I just have my phone, which I always have with me, and I can use that to pay. And like I can manage
Stick
things
to
there.
What you're good at.
It's sort of cool. It's like, wow, like they're doing something that's really cool. I just don't understand what they're doing that's so much cooler in this thing versus something else.
Maybe there's something else coming.
Maybe there is. Who knows? They are smart folks over there, so we're not going to count them out. But in any event, if you do e-commerce, you should check out Square and see if launching a store there is right for you or not. And if you want to maybe tweet to the Inbound Commerce guys, Mike Ewing and Sam Alkharjanin, they wrote the book Inbound Commerce. I'm sure they'd be happy to chat with you more about that particular topic. Yeah. All right, finally, we're going to talk about this one in a little bit more detail. LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn's doing some interesting stuff.
LinkedIn has become the
They're pretty inboundy.
Yes, they're doing lots of very interesting things, and I was going to say it's become the a better place to do stalking, but what it's actually become is a better place to know when you're being stalked, right?
Yeah.
Because we all have done stalking on Facebook. Right?
Of course.
Right. I mean, who doesn't?
If we want to admit that or not is another question, but
everyone
yes.
should admit it. They may not admit who they've stalked, right? But, you know, old, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, like whatever, all kinds of stuff there.
Strange neighbors.
Yeah, totally. Strange neighbors. Okay. All right. I haven't done that one yet, but maybe I should. That would be interesting. Potential nannies. I've done
absolutely.
That too and dug around and been like, I'm not sure that person should be my nanny.
Absolutely.
Things like that. So lots of stuff there. That's on Facebook. But the thing about Facebook is you have no knowledge of who is stalking you.
Absolutely.
Right? You can control whether friends or unfriends or whatever can view your stuff, but you don't know who is viewing what.
Absolutely.
LinkedIn has always had the these are the people that have viewed your profile
mm-hmm.
thing.
A handful of folks.
A small number. And if you pay, you can get more detail there. But you can also, I'll talk about that in a minute. But now they're adding this thing where your individual pieces of content, not only can you know, through tools like HubSpot, how many people clicked on them, but you can actually start to know who
they are.
Very
Absolutely.
Interesting. Twitter doesn't tell you that. Facebook doesn't tell you that. No one tells you that.
Yeah, this is the first network to really focus on giving that type of feedback of who you're attracting, who is engaging with the type of things you're sharing on LinkedIn.
Right.
I think it's
so
very, very interesting.
So who's viewed your content?
Absolutely.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So talk more. What are the implications of this?
Yeah, I see a lot of different.
Think about this?
Yeah, I see a lot of different use cases. We'll go the more typical LinkedIn, the job seeker. Maybe you're trying to share content to get a job, and if you notice that people who are at the jobs that you want to work at are seeing your content, that's a great piece of feedback that maybe you're doing something right. From a marketing standpoint, maybe you're targeting a very particular audience. You can see, who's reacting to your posts? Are they in the industries that you want? Do they have the roles that you want that could be good leads or customers for you? And before, you would just see a number. You could just see the overall yield, not necessarily the who.
So to me, the dirty little secret here is LinkedIn is, in my opinion, trying to progress and become much more of a CRM and a sales system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were a salesperson, what you would want is when I post this piece of content out to my followers in LinkedIn, I'd want to know who interacted with it.
Sure.
And that gives me information about who to follow up with. They've launched sort of a new version of their contacts tool. You can actually link it with your Gmail. And then when you
cool.
go to someone's contact on LinkedIn, you can see the last time you emailed them.
That's cool.
And it's like this kind of single view of a contact within your sort of personal relationship with them. It's very, actually really shockingly similar to what we've built at HubSpot from a company perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So your company's relationship with an individual person, we have this contact timeline. It shows you all the emails they've received from marketing, all these other interactions, things like that. It's really, really, really similar there. And so what they're basically adding is something that we already had in HubSpot, which is which of your leads have interacted with your social posts.
Mm-hmm.
With social inbox, we have that. So when you post something to Facebook on HubSpot, you know people who clicked on it, you know who those people are if they're in your contacts database. And LinkedIn is basically now essentially copying that. So very, very smart on the individual basis within the LinkedIn community to do that. And I think it's sort of one of those things that they're trying to become more of a sales tool and a little bit less of just a recruiting tool, which I think is really interesting.
Another neat part that I think they'll get in reaction to this is, I hope for their sake, people posting more and using LinkedIn more to share their content. Because I can imagine it could be a little addictive and really interesting, especially if you start to learn that the people you're attracting are who you want.
Yeah.
You might start posting more of your content there, maybe using it more than other social networks, which is valuable for them because more people are engaging with their network.
Totally.
Things like that.
Totally.
It's
so if you are using LinkedIn today, this is definitely something to check out as
Absolutely.
You start to publish some content there. Just poke around.
Absolutely.
Take a look.
Cool.
I will also say that you can actually change the LinkedIn privacy settings so people cannot see that you were stalked their profile, which I actually do because when I'm surfing around and maybe trying to find some employees to potentially hire, I actually don't necessarily
want people to know
that.
I'm looking them up.
Yeah. Because sometimes
sense.
I reach out to people and sometimes I don't. And
you don't want to send the wrong message or prematurely.
I don't know. I just don't see what it gains me by having them know that I've been stalking them on LinkedIn. I don't know. So I actually have that turned off. But if you turn it off, then you don't get the benefit of seeing who's viewed your profile.
Oh, so smart.
But it's smart of them, right?
Yes.
Because it really, it's that strong incentive to be able to like opt into it. But I've actually decided I actually don't care who views my profile.
I'll send you screenshots of mine so you can just get the benefit of
pretend.
Knowing who pays attention to me.
Yeah, perfect.
As if that were valuable.
Awesome.
That's funny.
Cool. So we wanted to give a shout out to the upcoming conference, the Inbound Conference.
Absolutely.
We have an early bird ticket price that ends on July 1st.
So this Monday. So we just have a few days left that you can take advantage of that ticket price.
Is that, wow, that is right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, a couple days basically. So I will tell you a couple things. One is prices go up by a couple $100 on July 1st. You want to buy before then. Second, if you are interested in attending, you should tweet to me, M. Volpe, or to Rebecca, RepCore. And we may have a discount code that we could send to you.
We might.
To help you out there. Second thing is we just announced a new keynote speaker.
Who? Arianna Huffington.
Yes. Huffington Post founder, media mogul, very interesting woman. She's going to talk about fearless leadership, which we're definitely very excited about. And the final thing is for those of you that have absolutely no money, but you have hustle.
And you have maybe a good network or really persuasive skills.
Yes, if you have hustle. We have this thing called Inbound Hustle, which enables you to earn a free ticket to the Inbound Conference. And actually, if you just Google the phrase Inbound Hustle, you'll find the video and then you'll find a couple blog articles about it.
It's a good video.
So there's a way that you can actually learn if you sell some tickets of your own, you can actually earn, I think, 5 tickets you sell.
And you get a free one.
You get a free one for yourself.
And you even get a little 10% code. So the people that you're giving the code to is a little bit of a discount. So even
there
better reason to buy from you versus wherever else.
Exactly right.
Cool.
Awesome. So we hope to see you all at the Inbound Conference in August.
Absolutely.
And we hope to see you on future episodes as well.
Great. See you
Thanks.
Later.
Bye.